my fellow Americans. This July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moda Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Today on The Grave Talks, Haunted World, 101 Ghostly Places and Encounters, a conversation with author Teresa Chung. Teresa Chung is an international best-selling author and paranormal expert, and has a new book out, Haunted World, 101 Ghostly Places and Encounters. From eerie orbs to intelligent spirits, Teresa shares some of the most spine-chilling true stories of hauntings from around the globe. We explore the four categories of hauntings: residual, poltergeist, inhuman, and intelligent, and discuss how modern parapsychology and afterlife science shed new light on these phenomena. Teresa offers fascinating insights into our enduring fascination with ghosts, dreams, intuition, and the afterlife. Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation with author Teresa Chung about her new book, Haunted World, 101 Ghostly Places and Encounters. Well, Teresa, thank you so much for joining me today. You are an internationally best-selling author. That has to feel good to hear that. Every time somebody says it, doesn't it feel good?
It does. Thank you so much, Carol, for inviting me on your wonderful show. I feel very honored that you've got a Brit on. And yeah, I've written many, many, many books about the supernormal. I'm not a serial killer. I'm a serial writer. That's what I always say.
That's good to know. Good to know. Now, there's one book in particular that a lot of our listeners might have read before, and that's Dream Dictionary A to Z. That is a big book, and I think a lot of people have heard of that book, and they probably own it. And you've written quite a few about dreaming and dreams.
Well, especially in recent years, actually. My Dream Dictionary, I actually was first published in 2005, 2006. It was a massive tome in the days when you could have doorstop books, you know, like, you know, you could actually, you know, they were difficult to lift. They were so big. It was a dictionary of 20,000 dreams organized by theme. And that was very popular. But then the publisher wanted to downsize it to a paperback with an A to Z easy reference, so people could just look up the dream symbol. And that has been reissued and reissued. But then what happened after the lockdowns, when the pandemic happened, everybody started dreaming big. You know, that was the lockdown dream phenomenon, which was reported globally online for the first time, because this was a global event and people were going online saying, I had the weirdest dream. And this led to an explosion in sleep and dream research. And you know, for me, forgive the pun, it was a dream come true as a dream author. And I was signed for many more books to help people understand the meaning of their dreams and not dismiss them as random nonsense. This year, I've recently published The Dream Cure with HarperCollins again. HarperCollins published The Dream Dictionary. And I have another book coming out with Llewellyn next year about future dreaming, how you can potentially glimpse the future in your dreams. I feel truly blessed to be given opportunity after opportunity to talk about my passion and what I've devoted my life researching.
And I would love, maybe down the road when the next book comes out or whenever you're available, to do an entire episode about dreams. I think it would just be fascinating.
It gets
fascinating.
Such a reaction. Because, as I said, I'm in the privileged position here in the UK to be ITV This Morning's resident dream expert. I've done about 25, in the last 3 years, I've done about 20, 25 national call-ins. They open the phone lines and people call in with their dreams, and it goes crazy. Lots of people can't get through because everybody's had that dream, mm-hmm. and they just want a bit of bespoke insight, because dream dictionaries like the ones I've written are very good, but they are the common and generic and universal interpretation. And of course, it's the personal interpretation that people really want. They want to know how to do that. So in those call-ins, I try and give some insight to help people interpret the dream for themselves uniquely and personally, rather than sort of common and universal. And I've also done it on radio, BBC radio stations here in the UK. Every few months I get a call, well, we'd like to do an item on dreams. The host has had a crazy dream, and, you know, about turning into a squirrel or apocalypse, and they want to talk about it, and then viewers call in. It's a real icebreaker, I find, dreams. And also it's great because it unites skeptics and believers in the supernatural, because however skeptical you are, you still had a dream,
right?
That's mysterious, and you want to know the meaning,
mm-hmm.
of it. Even if you dismiss it as random nonsense and all, it's all imagination, it still intrigues you, because you wake up with it on your mind in the morning. You think, now why on earth did I send myself that message?
Right.
So it gets the foot in the door for the mainstream to embrace the paranormal, the supernatural. They don't realize when they're talking about dreams, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about the mystery of being a human being.
You know, especially when you sit down and really think a dream through, there is underlying meanings, and there can be things that came from your life that kind of slipped in there, and, you know, visitation dreams. There's all kinds of dreams to talk about.
Well, they're supernatural dreams, psychic mm-hmm. dreams, which fall into a category of their own. I mean, obviously what I do when I go on the mainstream channels is more the symbolic dream, which is 99.9% of your dreams, but there's that tiny percentage. I call them night visions, as you're right. Dreams of the bereaved, dreams of the afterlife, dreams where you get psychic downloads. And those dreams are utterly riveting and fascinating. And a hallmark of them actually is that they're more realistic. When you're dreaming it, they feel more realistic than the symbolic dreams, which are a bit like a music video.
Right.
They're sort of fragmented and lots of stories weaving together. But a night vision, an afterlife dream, tends to have a beginning and a middle and an end, and to be very sort of realistic in how it's presented when you're dreaming it. Of course, when you wake up, you realize it was totally surreal. But in the dream state, it feels so natural and lifelike that when you wake up, you have to pinch yourself a bit and think, what was that, a dream?
Mm-hmm. Was it a dream? Now, you just came out with a new book, and it's called Haunted World, 101 Ghostly Places and Encounters.
Yes.
And let's go back. How did you get interested in the paranormal? Because I do think there's kind of an overlap between dreams and the paranormal sometimes. But in your bio, the sentence that jumped out at me right off the bat was, Teresa, born into a family of traveling spiritualists. And I wrote that down with a question mark. You've got to tell me a little about that.
I was born into a family of spiritualists, where there is belief in the continuity of life after death. So from the age of 3 or 4, I was going to mediumship demonstrations. It was totally natural to see people allegedly communicating with the other side. Was a traveling family, so went from place to place. My mother, you know, got a lot of her income from astrology readings and from demonstrations of mediumship, etc. It was just in my family. And it was how I grew up. So belief in the invisible world was something that I thought everybody believed in, because that's the community I lived in. It wasn't until I went, you know, I was blessed, because I was home educated, to earn a place at King's College, Cambridge University, to read theology and English. And when I went there, it was the biggest shock I could ever have realized, because I realized, no, people don't believe in this. In fact, they dismiss it. And it was kind of harrowing, really, and a huge wake-up call, because I was in kind of this little spiritualist bubble. I learned a lot there. I really woke up. Unfortunately, my faith in there being one path to fulfillment, the Christian path, kind of faded, because when I was at Cambridge, I studied all world religions. And then, like many people these days, I became spiritual, not religious. I saw beauty in all paths. But that time at Cambridge studying theology and religion was incredibly important, because it gave me the tools when I left to actually research my own upbringing and to try and understand the people that I grew up in. Because although I saw demonstrations of mediumship and psychic readings, etc., like that, and I learned all the tools and techniques, I always felt a bit of a square peg in a round hole, because it felt like book learning. I didn't feel like I channeled anything. I didn't think I could see dead people. And I wanted to understand my own family, if you kind of understand what I'm saying here.
Absolutely.
I wanted to understand my own. I believed in it because the people I loved demonstrated it. But in terms of personal experience, I felt almost a bit of a fraud. It wasn't happening to me. But I believed in it totally, if you can understand that dichotomy between mm-hmm. believing in it but not actually experiencing it. But now, decades later, I can see all my life I have experienced the supernormal. It's just every time it happened, I dismissed it as, you know, every day or a coincidence or chance, as many of us do. For example, if I had a dream and it played out a few days later, as often happened to me, I wouldn't rate it as paranormal. I thought, oh, that's not like seeing a full-blown vision of a departed loved one. As I believed very much that that was the paranormal, that you had to see full-blown visions or get a direct message from the other side that was conclusive. I had to learn that the afterlife, if there is one, and of course, you know, that's a matter of belief, speaks to us all in very subtle ways, through intuition, through dreams, through a sense that you can't explain. And I now look back on my life and I see this supernatural thread right from childhood onwards, that I'm only in with the benefit of hindsight beginning to recognize for what it was.
And I think that you experienced what a lot of people do, because I've heard from a lot of people that they never saw an apparition, so therefore they had not had a paranormal experience.
Yeah.
They're dismissing the things that actually did happen. So I think that's really common that people,
yes.
Or even when a loved one passes and you want that sign and you dismiss the cardinal that just flew up and stopped right in front of you as a
Absolutely.
Sign because you were wanting to see your relative as an apparition in front of you. And
I had that when my mother passed. I so desperately wanted. I mean, she was, you know, she was psychic medium. She would contact me. Surely she would send me a sign. And I actually plunged into a real low for several years after, because nothing came through. But then what did come through was dreams of her. Right? I was having conversation with her in my dreams. And they slowly gave me the strength to understand that death ends a life, not a relationship mm-hmm. in spirit, and that I could continue that relationship with her in my dreams and in my memories and in my thoughts of her. And that was just as powerful as actually her sort of floating down a vision of her, which I have interviewed people in my time, and I include their stories in many of my angel books. I've written many of them, who say that they've had those full-blown experiences, and I totally believe them. I've got no reason to distrust them, but it hasn't happened to me. I think I'm like the great majority of people who have sensed it in other ways, but mm-hmm. are a bit nervous to accept that maybe a hunch or a dream or a sensation is actually a paranormal experience. And that's why I wrote my latest title, Haunted World, because I wanted to kind of normalize the paranormal, as it were. I mean, I do gather some of the most famous hauntings from around the world, but I also say that in many of these hauntings, the people who experience things in these locations, it's very subtle, Very few of them actually see the ghost. It's what they sense in these locations and what it triggers within them. And I wanted everybody who reads this book to understand that the supernatural experiences like this are actually the norm and not the exception. We've all had uncanny encounters that we simply can't explain away. And instead of fearing them, I want people to get excited about them.
In fact, at the very beginning of the book, right off the bat, you talked about being a waitress at a place called the Beefeater. Was the Beefeater, right? Tell me a little about that, because it was a really unique type of waitressing job. I've had a zillion waitressing jobs, but never one like this before.
You know, I wish the UK would recreate that again. It was called the Beefeater by the Tower of London. And it was in some kind of dungeon at the time, and you had to go downstairs, and they recreated a medieval banquet 7 days a week, starting sort of like early evening and finishing after midnight. And they had a tribute Henry VIII, they had strolling players, they had jousting, not with horses, just sort of recreating it with people doing it. I mean, it was very amateur. And all the waitresses had to be able to sing and dance. And at the time, I had an okay singing voice. I could do that. So I passed the muster. And literally, people would eat with their hands. Everything would be served like it was a medieval banquet. And between courses, there were songs like Green Sleeves that everybody sang. It was so, so, so crazy.
It had to have been fun, actually.
It was. And everybody just loved it because, you know, we're all in love with that Tudor period of the you know, of British history. It conjures up so many images and associations. And, you know, I worked there for many months and quite the experience. People really entered into the spirit of it. But it was when I was there that I've never seen a full blown apparition, that I may, because it could have been a trick of the eyes, it could have been the power of suggestion because of the environment I was working in. I believe I saw a woman in a mirror who sort of like the you know, the, I don't know if you're a Doctor Who fan, but there's the angels, the don't blink angels, that when you blink, they move closer. It was literally like that I saw her in the mirror when I looked up and I thought she was a cast member. And I went back to reading my book. And then I looked up again because I heard noise. And she was literally right behind me, up behind my shoulder. I turned around to talk to her. I wasn't afraid. She didn't fill me with fear at all. Nothing there. So I really thought that maybe I was going nuts or that my imagination had gone wild. I spoke to other cast members and a lot of them laughed at me and thought I'd been drinking, but I don't drink. I'm certainly not nuts. You know, people who know me may disagree at times, but I'm certainly not. I'm not prone to seeing things that aren't there. So it was a big, big question mark. What did I see? What did I experience? Was I in a liminal state, maybe between waking and sleeping, where sometimes you can see images from your dreams as if they're reality? But I wasn't sleepy at the time. I was reading a book. So that has been something that has stayed with me. It's never happened again, probably because I want it to happen too much. And I think often when you force and strain when it comes to the paranormal, it pushes it away. I've got to just relax and not want it so much. But I do often look in the mirror and still think, well, maybe she'll appear.
I have to wonder too, because you were just reading a book, so your mind was a million miles away. You weren't like, maybe I'll see something here. That wasn't in your mind at all. You're just reading a book.
I mean, I've done a lot of research into this, and I don't know if you know that, like the Philip experiments in the 1970s, where it was in Canada, I believe, that they created a fictional character that actually took on a life of its own and started haunting the people in that study. It was the power of suggestion to the extreme. You know, table tilting happened, but this character didn't actually exist. They just created this. It was called Philip, I believe, centuries ago, who had died a terrible death, you know, and I find that interesting. It was the power of suggestion so strong there with me, given the environment I was working in. I was reading Edgar Allan Poe, that I kind of created something unconsciously. But even if that was the case, Carol, isn't that just as fascinating, the ability of our minds to do that, as the possibility of a ghost. Isn't that just as exciting that that maybe our minds have this mysterious ability to create an energy force?
There are actual examples in the book, some of these stories, that did that really happen, or was it people thinking that things had happened collectively? You know, and so I think it's real interesting too. How did, and we're going to dive into that a little bit, and how did you end up with 101 stories? Did you go, I'm going to do 100, but then I found this one more, I'm going to do 101?
Well, we both were comparing our beautiful dogs at the beginning, and it's not the 101 Dalmatians, I'm sorry.
Yes, we showed each other our cute little dogs before we started this.
It's not Disney-inspired, it's George Orwell-inspired, of course. Room 101 is...
Okay.
Your greatest fear. What is your greatest fear? He writes about Room 101. That's what hides your greatest fear. And for many of us, our greatest fear is being left alone in the dark with just our imaginations. And that goes right back to childhood, when our parents tucked us in and it was time for us to be grown up and sleep alone by ourselves. And that's often a very terrifying moment. For many people, it's our greatest fear. Seeing a ghost in the dark is right up there as our greatest fear. So that's why, really, I just chose 101 for poetic reasons, really. And also because I wanted to have a broad sweep, have as many as possible. I mean, this is a book very much to dip in and out of. You might find it, because story after story, after the introduction, which sets the scene and explains what are the typical signs of hauntings and where modern science is at with the paranormal right now, afterlife research, and a little bit about my story and reason for writing it. We then go into the main body of the book, which is the 101 locations. Typically, they're locations that have alleged spooky activity happening. And what the uniting theme is, the reason, the criteria for including all these 101 places, is that in every single instance, there's always one totally unexplained factor. The majority of them, of the cases, each case can be explained away psychologically, as we've been discussing, or logically, or due to climate, or due to outside influences, or downright fraud. But there's still, even in cases that have been dismissed as fraud, some element that is like, well, that can't be explained, can it? So that was the criteria, really, really, for including 101.
I would think too that it seems, once you got 101 in your head, you're like, that's a lot of stories I'm going to have to collect. But I would guess that you ended up with more and had to pick out the ones that kind of rose to the top.
People messaging me saying, why didn't you include this? Because some of the stories I include are world famous. You know, people who love the Conjuring universe, for example, will recognize some of these stories. But I've included the true human stories that inspired them. Because, again, in every single case of these 101 cases, they are stories of hauntings and ghosts, but they all began with a human story. The origin was a very human experience that's been recorded, and somehow the trauma or the impact of that experience has lived on throughout time to the present day through stories that have gathered about alleged hauntings that date back to this first original human experience. Because I wanted to show the human origin of ghost stories and how they all started with just an ordinary person like you and me, and something happened to them that then led to these ghost stories and alleged sightings of them at some point throughout time by other people.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Teresa Chung about her latest book, Haunted World, 101 Ghostly Places and Encounters. For more information, visit her website at teresachung.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial-free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino's a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Moto Casino is pure American energy. Born in the USA and with the same 1776 spirit that built this country. Moto, America's social casino, is celebrating that freedom with a 1 million sweeps coin prize giveaway. One lucky American is going to win 1 million sweeps coins. So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Moto Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino,
America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.